So I didn't explain why minus 2, because I printed it just now and I didn't have time to, to write the details. But we have discussed this example last time. I didn't know you could watch it, the recorder.
Yeah.
So there was a very nice solution presented, and the troubles here were just okay, so for example, you just didn't compile it, right? Because this will not compile. Because floating would require implementing correction, so division.
Okay, well, this one I did with Renault, I think the one I tried it with, it did compile.
That must be very old compiler.
But yeah, I first set the 7.6, and then I just noticed that when I did the new one, because there I needed that some monoid is an instance of
the monoids are up here, right?
Yeah, that was for the next one. And that's the point where I noticed that I had a very old version of the Haskell compiler.
So then there are some other things, like this would require summation multiple. No, this is correct. Yes. But so
yeah, can for programming now that I installed 7.10, this would probably not compile anymore. But I'm pretty sure that it did compile with the 7.6 version.
Yeah.
I mean,
okay, this thing then, I'm really interested to see if it compiles anyway. And this is, this also doesn't make much sense, I think, because it's just taken from complex numbers. But it doesn't correspond to absolute value of a number, and the signal also, because like it might have something like this minus 2 plus square root of 2 minus 2, and then this would produce 2 minus 1 1. So you need to do some analysis, and so other people did it.
Yeah, the thing was probably that it's...
Yes, you can have yours. And so the two are...
Nochmal was?
Wie ist der Winkel von dem Ding?
120.
So my phone file was liberal. As I said, there was this two parts which were hard, and I just didn't subtract any points for them. So there was this proof of the sort one of law. That was one thing, and there was this. This calculation was 42. Indentational semantic of some program which would terminate in this 42 and diverging over the cases. So that just didn't count. So. Johannes Schlimm is still in this group?
I think he tries to do the exercises, but...
Who is this guy?
No. It's another guy.
Who's from Ezekiel?
No.
No?
That's yet another guy.
Because he wrote me an email that he wanted to do together with someone else, but that someone else quit and he couldn't finish his exercise, but he would find a group. So presently there are several groups, and I think your group includes two people.
Yeah.
And there is also Colbert, who probably would prefer to do everything on his own. So everyone gave panel handed N a solution. So we can start discussing that. So I hope this new exercise was easier. So we can start discussing it, and then if it's total material, then we can return to the second one. And there was still this exercise, I think second part of the exercise two. Was a fixed point, so also few people did it, although I think it's quite similar to the first one. So if we'll have some more time, we can return to it. Is there any questions about the lecture? Have you been to the lecture? Have you been to the lecture?
Yes. I also texted it, but I didn't finish it yet, so it's not online.
So,
yet.
Do you want to start publishing it on the webpage?
You mean the PDF?
Yes.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, that would be easier to follow.
I don't know what the best mode is for publishing the recent. Enough get check out.
Well, we just put a big disclaimer that we are not in charge of any errors there.
Yeah, okay, but
well, we did it with blowing, and there is a script for blowing, and it's also put on the web page, and there are regularly find mistakes there. But again, so with a big disclaimer, we are not responsible for any errors there.
Yeah, but I mean, how to keep it up to date, because...
Well, I would update it once in a while.
Yeah.
So okay. I can put another disclaimer, if you want the most recent version, then use Git.
Yeah, that's okay.
Ones using Git nowadays. I think it's maybe not so convenient for writing papers. It's more like for development. We still use SVN for our paper repository.
But I guess in this mode, when you have a central repository, it doesn't give it much. It's not that much difference.
No, it's all right. If we wanted to change it globally, like with our chairs, then I think we would think hard about it. Because like when you develop a software, you do it differently than if you write a paper.
Probably.
You know this joke by Linux, so it's about how to pronounce it. How to pronounce SAM. Yeah?
No, what do you mean?
So, there was media file where Linux Torvalds explained how to pronounce his name. Like, I'm Linux Torvalds, I'm the inventor of Linux or something like that, and I pronounce it Linux, because lots of people confused it and didn't know how to pronounce it properly, so it was very long time ago, and then he came up with, when he developed Git, then he came up with a different MIDI file saying, I'm Linux Torvalds, and I pronounce SVN as Git.
Okay, haven't heard that.
So people were interested in like intuition about natural transformations, and so I asked Chris to explain that they give some examples. I don't know. That was Florian, I think, actively asked about it. But now I cannot ask him if he's satisfied with that, because he mentioned that it was pretty close. Right, so that means first exercise is just a programming exercise. So we someone would like to present the solution. Just discuss it. Someone fresh. Thomas, maybe you?
I didn't do the first exercise.
So
I didn't program it.
Who programmed the first exercise?
A partner who isn't here.
Okay, so from the people who are here. Okay. You did present something last time.
Yes. Okay, so.
Okay, will you? All right.
so is this visible?
Maybe you can make it bigger if you want.
And perhaps white.
Okay, fine. So the first exercise, we had to first define this class count monad with one method here called ink, where the type of ink was just slightly different from the exercise sheet because I omitted the unit as parameter. So the intention is that ink should somehow increment a counter. Then I copy and pasted the monad module code until here and made monad module an instance of count monad by defining ink to be monad module 1. And the return value is of course unit. So this just sets the counter, which is in this case a num to 1. So the point is that n must be a monoid and a number, and because it is a number, we can use this constant 1 here and hope to get the unit out of it. And the intention is that we can use a monoid like sum, where the monoid operation just sums up the numbers. And so I define this type int count monoid to be monoid module with this sum int monoid. And then this tree type was given on the exercise sheet, and we had to define a function find first, which recursively searches the tree for a leaf which matches a given condition. So it is given a function from A to B, a proposition on A, so to speak, and a tree, and it returns the A if it finds it, and nothing if it doesn't. And all this is wrapped up in a int count monad so that we can count how often we recurse. And I defined that like this. So this is the base case when we have a leaf for the tree. We try our test function. If it succeeds, then we return just the current value in the leaf, and if it doesn't succeed, we return nothing. And in the other case where we have a node, we have to recurse into the left and the right subtree, and we do that by first recursing into the left, and then maybe recursing into the right if the first didn't find anything. So recurse is a function defined as increment and recursively call our find first with the same test argument. And so this means that recurse L recursively calls find first on the left subtree, and this returns or is of type in count monad maybe A.
So in this this boss, this I don't know, this binding operators, they are boss for the same monad.
What do you mean?
And they refer to the same monad, don't they?
Yeah.
And because we don't see the type here.
You mean
because
this?
After ink, this is
here. You mean
here.
This one and this one?
Yes.
Yes. These
so
are the first
one. Because the records, yes. So this all lives in this ink of monad.
Yes. So
you do not use the fact that maybe is a monad too, because you could actually mix the two kinds of bindings.
Yeah, but that's kind of what I do by... I mean, the binding for maybe is define something like this, what I spell out explicitly here.
So maybe is it a library function?
Maybe it's a library function
Can you open an interpreter somewhere to see what the chunk of?
Yes.
Alright, so this is
the first value maybe tries to make a maybe value to or strip away the maybe, and what you do is the first thing is the value you want to return in case of nothing, and the second thing is a function you want to apply to the argument of maybe in case it is just a. So what I do in this line is, if the recursive call to the left returns nothing, then we recurse to the right, which is a monadic action, so the types check out. And if it returns just A, we wrap the A again in just and return it.
Yeah, so it's difficult to say what this primitive precisely means in general. So it's something very specific to maybe monad.
I think it's not that different from either, which is just
okay. Right. So it expresses something like that. It's defined like operator.
Yeah.
So because maybe A is like 1 plus A, so
exactly.
If it's A, then it's B, right? And yeah.
It's more or less a
specialization
for...
If you come to match it with theory, then you could rewrite it as 1 to B, so because this is isomorphic to B, and you can uncard this, so you have A to B. Well, and maybe A is just 1 plus A. So, and that is essentially a case distinction, because if it's A, then we apply this, so we get B. If it's 1, then we apply this, and we also get B. So that's why this comparing brackets applied to this sort of argument.
Yeah, and that's what I meant by. I will come to that later, because that's the reason our two exercises are actually kind of the same. But
depends on your skills if you can implement them to be the same.
Okay.
I mean, if you write it in such a way that you can unify it, then that's great. But maybe not everyone can do it that easily.
Let's move on. So I used two different monadic bind operators here. The first one uses the result of the first action, and the second one just throws it away because the result of ink is always unit, and we don't need that to execute the next action. Okay, so I can show that it works. For example, find first, let's find test tree has A, B, C, D, and let's find C. Then it returns a monadic module, and the return value is just C, so it did find the element.
Where's the test tree?
And this sum here is the number of recursive calls it had to do until it reached our C.
Let's maybe just try to make it more factorial, right?
Yeah.
So there's like one range up top, and then there are A and B like this.
Yeah, and the rest is
C and D.
So is it C like here, or is there like one more range? I think it's like this, right?
Yeah.
C and D. So and we are looking for C, so we are calling the recursively here. 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh no,
did you count that right? Because the we recurse once, twice, thrice, four, five.
Yeah.
So.
So we do not we do not count the topmost essentially.
Yeah, but that's no recursive.
Yeah, sure.
Exactly. Okay, so that's that. If we try to search for something that doesn't exist, we get the number of nodes minus the top node. Okay. So
can you explain this effect essentially?
What do you mean? Which effect?
Well, why it happens so?
Okay, yeah, because increments the counter.
Yeah, but doesn't increment. It just writes one to the monoid.
Okay, so the long explanation is it writes one to the monoid, and the byte operation for our monoid module uses the monoid operation to join the two values, and so if we have one on the one side and something else on the other side, this sum monoid just increments or adds one and the other thing, so it increments it one.
Is it clear, this explanation? Because, I mean, if you just read the program, it can maybe be not so straightforward, because it doesn't really increment anything, it just writes one. But why actually increments is because of the monoid operators, because they take care of accumulation everything, and just as well include, I mean, this is like a simple example, but you can use this idea for other examples where you need to collect more complex information.
I think the canonical example from the standard libraries is the writer monoid where you try to lock information. And I think this is actually defined by a over some monoid. So you usually use this to join strings, but you could use this some monoid.
Yeah, I take you, of course, somewhat off trail, because I want to develop everything from scratch. And not to use the library function because we want to learn it, and so I think it's the best way to learn to explore it from scratch, because otherwise you do not notice certain things here. So just as well, there are this exceptional transformer which is certainly implemented too, but we need to believe.
Yeah, but that's actually a use case where this kind of monoid is often used for logging information while you do some other computation. So you often use a writer transformer over some other monoid to log what you do in the other monoid.
Which monoid did you mention? Reader?
Writer.
Okay. Yeah, that's possible. Yeah, I just didn't know the name, but that's of course a known idea. That's the nature of using things.
Okay, so should I do the next case of science?
Yeah, if you are finished with this, did you answer all the questions? So that wasn't difficult, was it? Okay.
So
should it be more difficult next time?
I don't think so, because I wrote that to you after doing the first two exercises, and the third one was actually slightly more difficult than
which one was your one?
The third one.
Really?
I thought so. But I don't know. I mean, I'm pretty confident about my SP skills, so that's probably the most easy part of all.
See, for me, exercise 3 was by far the easiest,
yeah, okay,
and
so
exercise 2 was the hardest.
So it probably depends on your
on your background and on your what's you most interested in? What's interested you? So for programmers, this would of course be easier to do the programming part. For the musicians, it's easier to do the theoretical part. So yeah, we need to balance them somehow. So I try to balance them because so the first exercise is programming only, and the second is a mixture, and the third one is the theory.
Yeah, and that's fine. But
all right. Yeah.
I think the lecture yesterday left lots of space for exercises. So I think there are many things that could be improved out of exercises. Because we can improve as much as we want. Okay, so the second exercise actually starts with some theory.
Yeah, that's probably postpone the theory and just assume that we know that there's exception one transformer. Well, actually, we cannot compute this stupid theory because you need to come with the definition. So when we just show the definition, and we believe that this is very correct.
Yeah, the definition was. I think we should actually write on the board. Yeah, that we have the exercise sheet here.
Ah, no.
Okay, so
maybe someone printed it. No. I have it on the screen.
Yeah,
can
you,
on the screen.
Yeah, can you dictate?
I can.
Just the definition of the.
So TEX is equal to.
Wait.
Yeah, E is a limit.
E X. Yeah.
Equal to T of X plus E. And then the second line is eta hat. Hat on all four. No, hat.
Circumflex.
X in the limit. No, that was is equal to eta composed with N of, which goes from X to Tx plus E. And then F dagger is equal to comparing brackets. So in the first position F, and then the second position eta composed with inner and star. This goes from T X plus T to T Y plus T. Yes.
Okay, so let's postpone the proofs and just use these definitions to implement the Haskell program. So I defined exception T of some underlying monad, the exception type, and the return value to be. This is just a fancy notation for exception T and an argument of type M of either E or X. So this puts either EX in the return type of the monad, which is just what we do here. So T exception of X is T of either X or E. Okay?
Yeah, so maybe just explain a bit this new notation. So we have like this algebraic data types, and we can use the constructors to do like construct the trees, but then we can say, we basically can give the names to the arguments in order to extract them here. So, and this is how you do it using this curly brackets and this notation, for example, run exception t.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, run exception t then becomes a function from exception t to the type of its of the argument.
So, is there such thing for either? I think yes. For
either,
because either is like a co-product, and you would probably also want to address to the.
I don't think so.
But you could do it, right?
Yes, we could.
So you could also introduce like inner and inner if you wanted to come up with a new new implementation of.
Yeah, but the standard library defines either just as this is.
Yeah, so, but that could be possible. So we could have a single and inner as the stack constructors.
And that's actually kind of standard to call the extraction from your monad transformer run something, because when you use it, you actually strip off the transformer and get the inner monad out. And if you use that in a context where the inner monad is expected, or in the monad context, then you run the inner monad. Okay.
Okay, and then one other thing, maybe not completely obvious, is that you now can use the constructor as an argument again, because M was referring to a monad, and monad can be implemented as a constructor itself. So and now you like go in high order, because so you do not just use a type as an argument, but a constructor.
Yeah.
That's that may be a bit interesting to know. So.
Yeah, and what's also interesting is that I swap the order of E and X compared with the standard definition, the theory definition.
M and E. Which one?
In the monad, either E X instead of. Either X,
okay.
But that's not
in the shape, is it?
The reason is that it's standard to use the left value for the exception and the right value for the return. The library definition of the even one has it that way.
I mean, in the problem statement, I've used the exception T constructor, which referred to the previous exercise.
Mm.
So, and you just replace it by either, right?
Yeah.
Or no.
What do you mean?
No, I'm wondering if you change something, which... so if that change... Somehow reformulated the exercise or not?
No, I don't think you gave the type or the definition of the exception T.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't change the type, I think. I hope so.
So, So you changed the order in comparison to that.
Instead of X plus E, I use E plus X because it's...
Yeah, which is because now you can drop X and use either E as a kind of constructor. Yeah,
sure. Okay, so the start, I did the usual instance those that you need to make in a moment, at least in newer GHC versions. So it is a functor. And we define fmap. I mean, fmap should just apply f to the value under the ether. And since we know that m is a functor, That's also, I do require that it's a functor here, and I do require that it's an applicative functor here, and not that it's a monad. I don't know, that's just maybe leaves more room for implementations. But, okay, so we know that the inner M is a functor, so we can actually use FMAP. And we know that either is a functor. So what we do is we apply fmap twice, and we fmap the value fmapf to the inner monad.
Which line are you referring to?
This one. Wait a second. This one. So I first extract the m out of the exception t and then wrap it again. And what I do in to the inner monad is I fmap the fmap f to f. Because the first fmap applies to m, to the functor of m, and the second fmap applies to the functor either em or either ex, since either is a functor, and fmap on either applies functor to the right argument, applies the function to the right.
So M is the functor for which you call the first the outer as well.
Okay. The functor for this is M.
Yes, that's clear.
Exactly. And this means we must have some function that we can apply to the argument of M. Mm-hmm. And this argument is of type either EX.
Yeah, okay.
And so we use this function to apply to either ex.
Okay, I'm more or less fine with that. Okay. More or less fine. I mean, we basically make use of the fact that compositional functor is a functor again.
Yeah. Mm.
Well, because you've got m composed with either.
Yeah.
Is it functor?
It's basically compositional functors. Yeah, but I
do not use it. I do not use composition of functors, do I?
Well, implicitly, because you call one inside of the other, you probably could reformulate it.
Yeah.
But if you look at that definition, so that's composition of functor, because there is a functor t, and there is a functor x plus e, and what you do, you compose them. So if you wanted to define an action of this functor, you would compose the corresponding actions of these two functors, which is what happens here, essentially.
So, next thing are applicative functors. I actually do kind of the same for pure, where I just use pure on the sum functor and pure on the m applicative functor. Just the same again, applying pure twice for the two applicative functors in our exception t, and then wrapping the whole thing up in exception t. And in the star case, I unwrap both arguments where I get a function and an argument, and okay, so I fmap to f, or actually no, I fmap star to f, and the whole thing to x, so x is of type m, and f also, and let's just...
Maybe you can add some more brackets, because I'm not sure if I can parse it. So this f, this star, and binds stronger than fmap. Yeah. Oh, okay, correct.
So that should be, wait a second. Redundant part. Yeah, so I estimate the star,
yes,
and apply that to F. So what I get is of type M with a half applied star. And yeah, then I apply X as the second argument for star. Does that make sense? So I'm constructing this, but under the model. And for that I need to F map
under
the applicative function F, yes. Okay. I'm kind of using the applicative function of M to apply this to X. Okay. Does it make sense? Good. Then let's continue with the moment.
So here you basically just have to implement those things.
Yeah, exactly. Return is return.return. In this case, idle is return for the either or in our case, because it's swapped around. But it's using that, this is the moment I can reformulate that as this.
I would try to on top this indices.
Well, the input is the embedding into X plus E, so.
What
do you mean? Is the embedding into X plus E.
Yes.
So the eventual transformation from it to plus E.
So.
Maybe not X plus E, but like underscore plus E.
Yeah. Okay.
So let's just try to be careful, because the indices at the bottom of nature transformation, they usually refer to the parameter of the nature transformation. So.
Yeah.
So let's better not mix them up, and then not use the x, because the functor is actually like abstracted over x.
Yeah. So that's why I use return.return here. Now, in this case, I unwrap the first moment action and leave the second, and what I have to do is execute this and feed the result to this function, and I do that just by using my standard monad action composition or star from the inner monad by executing X in the inner monad, and then doing case distinction just like here. Okay, so that is actually the definition just from here, because the star is just almost the same as a spine, just swapped around, and so forget the X from this, and then you get that. Star is fine, and that's case distinction with so now we also need to swap the arguments, but this is left return, and this is just F, but we need to get f out of the exception. I thought it would be cute to write run exception f, but I could have stripped the exception t away here by Python. Okay, so that, does that make sense? You need to swap the both sides of the sum in every case.
Yeah, and I think another thing that you could do here, you could like create a new type, either ex, and show that it's a monad, and then like do the same tricks with the definitions of monad like you did before.
Well, either ex is a monad. Already defined as monad here.
Okay. Right, so then it's even simpler because you don't even need to do it.
I could have used the...
So instead of either, you could also nest the binding for that monad just as well?
Exactly, but I just wanted to write this as one-to-one on the in Haskell as possible. Okay, so then having defined the monad, we were asked to define two operations, namely throw and handle, where throw should throw an exception. It gets the exception type as argument and returns a monadic action. And handle should get a monadic action, then a function that does something in the exception case, and is a monadic action itself. So the intention is that it runs this action. If that fails, it runs this function. And if not, just returns the result. Okay, so throw is simple. We use the inner monad to return left e, which is of type either ex. And so we just inject the exception in the either. And handle is also kind of simple. We run the first action in the inner monad and use case distinction. On the result, if it's left, then it has failed. We run the handler, and if not, then we return the result.
So essentially, you're modify this old definition that I gave previously, but you need to marry it with a semantically given operations for that monad M, right? So if this monad M is identity, then this definition would collapse to the old one.
Yeah. Okay. Then. Yeah, I defined the function loop, which just...
Using your background knowledge about how monad transformers are implemented in Haskell.
Mm. Yeah, well, this just uses the inner monad and and wraps right around the value in the inner monad so that we get a successful computation in the exception monad.
So why is it called lift?
Because it lifts from this monad to the exception t we wrap.
Correct, so essentially this corresponds to a function which was not in the exercise sheet, so lift goes from t to t plus e. So you can lift a computation over t to a computation with t plus exceptions. Or, so this is the same as t by definition. And this is a natural transformation.
Okay. And then I was able to implement find first x, which was should do the same as the first find first, but with a different strategy. So we in the leaf case we test. If the test for A succeeds, then we throw an exception. We throw the value of the leaf as exception, and otherwise we return you. And in the node case, we don't do case distinction anymore, which we needed in the first find first function, but just increment, call recursively, increment, call recursively, and the intention is that because we throw an exception, if we find the right value, it will just return immediately without doing the other recursive calls. And let's try. Maybe I should have defined show in this one. But
can it two drivers?
Not if I do not require a show from M.
You can unwrap it first.
What do you mean?
You can unwrap the recycle from it first.
Yeah. Okay. So this is the same that we got the last time, and this also seems to work. And yeah, the reason why it works is because what our monadic bind does for the exception T transformer is to do case distinction if this failed or returned a value, and or if this failed and returned a value. And so that's almost exactly the same as we did here. If you use the knowledge that maybe is also just case distinction for the maybe type, which is just a special case of the other type. And we have this find first x function actually uses unit as the argument for either. So it's this. It's this type, which is the same as maybe. Okay, so the types are almost the same, just one layer of in the direction more, because we have this exception key wrapper in one case. And yeah, so here we don't need the case distinction because the exception key wrapper already does it for us, but all in all the same operations are done. Yeah.
So what happens if you didn't find the node?
Here?
Yes, so...
Yeah, because...
okay, yes, the Z was not here.
Yeah. In this case, you see that it did return unit, which means that it just did all of its actions and never found something, because we always return unit in the otherwise case. And in this case, left C means that we fail.
And well, fails means, in this case, means succeeded.
Yeah, but it's also kind of a strange programming set to throw an exception if you succeeded. But you can certainly do it.
Yeah, okay. So exceptions are also used to quickly finish the loop.
Yeah, but that's, I think that's considered a bad
answer. Yeah, well, in general, I think this is quite common.
Yeah, but it's more difficult to read.
Because exception doesn't mean that it's failure. Exception is exception.
It's But I guess it's more difficult to reason about this function than the other function, because you need to know about the layer of your direction that you.
Yeah, this is a true example. Of course, this is for practicing only. So I don't know. I don't think that it's a very simple exercise. Maybe you know all the Haskell libraries already by heart, but I think this is quite advanced already in the sense that we've got like practicing advanced features. This is not monads only, but this is one transformer, so it's high order. We've got like an axiomatically given component, which is our parameter M, and there is like the one which is hard-coded, which is the exception, so it combines the things. And it's a simple example, but it's an example using for practicing advanced features, I think. Questions to that? Okay. My solution.
I guess the rest is easy. So we can switch it.
So someone can prove the rest. Yes.
Well, for monads, we require the first two, but
No, really.
No, the point is you actually use the monad definition that we had in yesterday's lecture. But we previously defined monads as classic triples.
Okay. So my definition that I gave in first as the first one, so it included only 3, 4, and 5 because its first two they are derived properties. So if you it's sufficient to prove, and the first two are not necessary.
Okay.
Do they actually prove that this first and second follow from 3 to 5?
Didn't we? I think the first, we proved the first one in an exercise.
And that was part of the exercise,
yeah,
yes.
The second one was done by Christoph yesterday, I think.
Did he prove it?
Which one?
Yes.
The natural transformation
part. All right. So, yeah. First one was part of the exercise assignment 2. For family's
sake. Well. It's quite easy anyway, but
I'm just commenting. That's you can do it, but let's just make sure that we understand it. It's important because there are, like you've seen, there are several definitions of the monad, and the one that I presented first very modest and this claims about what T is, what eta is. So we just say that eta works in objects. We didn't require that this functor. It didn't require that eta is a natural transformation because that's just implied by all the three laws. And in fact, you don't need anything else. So the fact that one is implied as part of exercise 3, and the second part of it, and the second is allegedly proved by. Proven by Christoph yesterday.
Then I just go to proof.
Yeah,
I would agree.
I would agree.
As we see there, write it down again. Eta is just eta composed with inlet.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we have to show is that the following diagram we have the following diagram. Here we got in left, here we got excellent to x plus e. And here we got new right. From that we get these two compositions, eta composed with in left and eta composed with in right. And eta x plus e, here eta, both x plus e, and therefore we get that eta x plus e is simply the same as the co-pairing of these two. We go got, we'll now look at EtaXT Dagger. This is the definition. Etta had X, and Etta X plus E composed with and write. And the star applied to this. But this star applied to this is this we showed is eta x plus e. So this is eta x plus e star. And because t with eta and star is monad, this is it from x plus it from t of x plus e, which we need to show.
Alright?
Yeah.
Well, yes. So this is fine. I would be more careful with the indices. So here, this is correct. So the index always refers to the object you apply eta, and okay, this is also correct. And here I think
this is what we got through this diagram here. We got the embedding of x plus e to t x plus e, and through this diagram, we see that this embedding is the same as the co-pairing of these two.
I mean, something was somewhere there will not be a mistake because we cannot get id on x plus e. That means id on x.
T. This is id on t x plus e.
Yes. Oh, okay. Right. Then it's correct. Yeah, fine, perfect.
So,
and also, you could, to get this identity, you could just use the axioms from the lecture, because again, in the lecture I gave like the complete system of axioms for co-product. There are just like four axioms, and you can just do everything using the equation reasoning, and there's an axiom which would just imply this.
Yeah, it's basically the property of the co-product, and one can use this to...
To indicate that you cannot always use diagrams, because diagrams are restricted in power. So, for example, like if you look at 5, you can like paint a diagram for G star composed with F, and then you apply star on top. So what a star applied to a diagram, that's like a transformation of a diagram. So diagrams are nice when you can use them, but sometimes it's good to search for alternatives if it doesn't work. It's just for the future.
So then we'll go on to the fourth part. I'll first put the diagram again. We got X, and we got a morphism to T from Y plus E. Then we got the embedding into X plus E. From there we got the embedding of X plus E into sheaf of X plus E. And here we got F dagger. And here we got the co-pairing of F. I'll just introduce a new notation for the following. I'll indicate with F tilde the co-pairing of F and eta y plus E in right. Basically I don't want to write this inner part here on all my diagrams and so on. So this is F tilde.
So what's your claim about this diagram?
I'll claim it commutes, and
it commutes because the triangles commute.
Yeah, which I'll prove shortly. Because if we prove this commutes, then we got this got that F dagger composed with eta x plus e and inner, which is eta hat, is the same as F.
Yeah, so I didn't really see that this is really what has to be proven.
And, well, from the definition of F dagger, this is the same as F tilde, star, because F tilde is just the part without the star. And from T being a monad, we get that F tilde star search eta x plus e plus equal to F tilde.
Yeah.
So this lower part here commutes. And the upper part commutes because
obviously,
yeah. Yeah, it's obvious because as of the definition of F tilde.
That's again one of the laws which can be just taken from the lecture. So it's composed
with F tilde is just F.
Yeah,
exactly. Basically you can just ignore this part here. And this is this is F tilde.
Yeah.
And so the whole diagram commutes, and I have this is eta hat of X, and that's what we need to show. Okay. So the fifth part. Um, we basically need to show is that I'll rewrite these layers here with follow g dagger g tilde star circ f tilde star is the same as the definition g dagger circ f dagger. And this is G dagger F dagger, which we can rewrite as G tilde star circle F tilde and star. So we need to show this auto identity. So, well, what we can do here, we got auto star and which we don't have here, so but we can rewrite this. G star search F star is the same as G star search F star. This is because, again, because T is a monad.
Yeah, it
is,
yeah. So... tilde. You forget the tilde, I guess. Because the tilde one must remain.
Yes. And so, what we can now just prove is the following. So, it is sufficient to prove, we just cancel this star here and this star here, and to prove, G to the star, so F tilde, this is this with the star cancelled, is the same as G tilde to F tilde.
And the star of...
the star is cancelled.
But there's yet another one.
This need not necessarily be the case, because we don't know that star needs to be true. So it does, it could map two different morphisms.
So the same. We weaken it all claim, right? So this claim is weaker than what we need to prove. But yes, if we are sufficient, we succeed with it, then we've got the goal,
yeah.
If we are lucky.
And in this case, we can show this stronger proposition. And
technically it is a stronger one, yes, because it would imply...
implies the upper one.
Then it's stronger, yes.
And, but not vice versa. I will rewrite this part here, the following way. G*star tilde the f star. This is by definition simply g tilde star so f and enter to z plus e circle to the right. We have this this morphism is a covariant of two morphisms. So we basically can prove this identity in two parts by simply proving the first part. F to the circle and left. This G star to the search F. This is the left part, and the second one is well the same with in right and. This we need to show is set better from set plus e search in the right. Well, the first part is basically obvious since f tilde circle in left. Is f, and therefore,
by definition,
f tilde was the co-pairing of f and something else, so this identity holds, and therefore, this, identity also holds. The second part is a little more complicated, which is why
maybe it's postponed to the next time because we get 2 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Over time.
Well, yeah, I can do it next time.
Yeah. All right.